Well, you prayed for it. It's going to be good, right? So what does, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I know Nick noticed that I like old sayings. But so there's old sayings. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think the saying, out of sight, out of mind, means? Nicholas? So it's like a reminder, right? Everybody agree with that, or somebody have something, anything different? It's good? It's good. So just to add on, to build on to what Nick said, is that if something is really important to you, it's really important to you, and it's only really important to you when it's right in front of you. But then if you go and you get out of sight of it, it's no longer in front of you, so you stop thinking about it. You know that, and then the importance of that item is no longer there. You know, let's say you have a book report due. You've all had book reports due, right?
I'm pretty sure then it would be, let's keep it as
a keep it. Books. A computer report. An e-book report. For this technically advanced age today. You know, what if you had a book report due tomorrow and you're working really hard, and then your phone beeps letting you know that you have a message, right? So you go check it. It'll just be a second. And then while you're there, you see, oh, there's new Instagrams. Oh, cool. So that book report is what? It's out of your mind, right? It's no longer important. You're on to your phone right now. So in one word, can anybody describe what that phone just became? Center of attention. Right, right. There's anybody have a different word? Huh? A distraction. Right, right. And vote for right, but it is the center of attention because that's what you're focused on, but it becomes a distraction. Center of gravity. I don't know about that. That might not have been right. So what are some distractions to you guys in today's age? Phones, right? Anything else? Video? No, video games are just good times.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. What else?
Friends
can be distracting. Especially opposite sex friends, right? Meaning boyfriend or girlfriend. They can be distracting, can't they? No? Is that it? Oh, you guys. Anything else could be distracting? You guys are very focused, right? The only thing that distracts you is friends.
Food?
Depending what food it is, it can be distracting, yes. Something what smells good, like you're walking by, it's like, you know, I should clean my room, but Mom just made brownies.
Yeah, I'm not waiting.
You're right that way?
Yeah.
Oh, that was weird. I'm getting older. You know, distractions can stop us from worrying about things, can't they? But they are better known for keeping us away from doing things. Magicians use distractions to misdirect the attention away from the truth. Distractions can make us procrastinate. You know, I'll take care of that later. Anybody ever be like that? Like, I'll take out the garbage later. I got I got till Wednesday. It's fine. You know, there is another old saying, is the path to hell is paved with good intentions. Anybody guess what that means? It's pretty much right there, right? But what does that mean? Nick?
Even though you may have the best mind, it may not always lead to good things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, more or less, you know, meaning that thinking about doing the right thing, thinking about it, doesn't always count. You know, wanting to do the right thing doesn't really count either. I mean, it's about doing the right things, right? In James 1, so let's open up our book to James, chapter 1. Verse 22. And it's up on the board if you want to.
But be doers of the world and the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
So you deceive yourself if you're not doing the word, you know, if you're just hearers, that's just what sounds good, but you're not doing it. Now understand that we are not saved by works. Understand that we're not saved by works, right? You know, James later says in chapter 2, verse 18,
but some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
So, technically, if you believe in Jesus, you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you confess your sins, you believe that he died and rose on the third day, you could not do another good thing the rest of your life, and you would be saved.
I don't know who'd like
to heal. Technically, that's the way it goes. Theoretically, if you're a Christian, good works should happen because we should want them to happen. Right? And why do I say technically you wouldn't have to do anything? Where can we see that in the Bible? Anybody guess? We see that in the Bible because of deathbed confessions. Here at Calvary Chapel, we believe in that because you see it in the crucifixion. Because there's two other people there at the crucifixion, right, on crosses. And one of the criminals were saved. You know, he didn't have time. He died right there. He didn't have time to do good works, but he was still saved. But if we are Christians, we're living this life, we're following Jesus, we should want to do good works, right? That makes sense. But we're not saved by them. We're saved by grace, but we just do good works because that's what we want to do. That's what a Christian does. Now, a student, what used to go here, they went off to college, and they were telling me about their first couple months in college. You know, and there's a lot what's going to go on whenever you guys graduate and go off to college, or, you know, moving out of your house, what have you. So there's, you know, all kinds of new responsibilities, you know, new classes, new schedule, a ton of new people, and trying to find everything. So first couple months were really busy for them. You know, but they were doing really good. They weren't late to class, but just a couple times. You know, they didn't miss any classes. They were getting A's in their classes. They were making friends. But still, it wasn't satisfying. They told me is that it wasn't satisfying. They felt empty. They felt empty. They were so busy with things going back and forth that they didn't have time for Jesus. They didn't have time to stop and read the Bible. They didn't have time to pray. They didn't have time. You know, they started getting back in the Word. And just like answers to prayer, it just felt right. It just felt right. They started feeling better about themselves. You know, and it kind of goes back because they're just there just for a little bit. But, you know, throughout high school, they've always wanted set a goal as far as to pray every day. Just to pray every day. You know, it sounds simple. It sounds simple, but the world has a lot of distractions out there, doesn't it? You know, you could start off really good for a little bit, but then all of a sudden distractions comes on. So it starts to become harder, you know, and then read every day. You know, they've been getting to that place where they've been able to do that. You know, it takes work. It takes focusing on God. You know, in eliminating distractions, actually making time for God. During summer camp, as a few of you know, during summer camp, we don't want you, or really you're not allowed to carry around your phones. And what is the reason for that? Distractions, right? You know, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've noticed it. The student noticed that how much closer they got to God in a week without distractions. How much it is easier just to be there, being in the Word. You know, noticing how much it was easier to stay focused. You know, they've also noticed that, you know, or they could imagine if that is for just 1 week, how close he got to God, you know, how much closer they could get to God if he does that all the time. Because God will only draw closer to their lives. You know, the more he focuses on God, the more God is going to be draw closer to them. In Luke, chapter 12, verse 16 through 21, Brandon can read. I'm not there yet. I'm there.
Then he spoke to a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to my store of my crops? So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, that is, this night your soul will be required of you. And whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God."
So, can you just kind of paraphrase what you just read? You know what paraphrase is, right? It's kind of like a short caption of what you just read. You know, what kind of happened? What is Jesus talking about? What is the parable about? letter? No, it's a story. It's a story that, an example that you could just use for examples and whatnot. That's kind of like the short definition of a parable. But what's happening? Does anybody, what's happening? Who's he talking about in this parable? Let's start with that simple question. Who's he talking about? A certain person he's talking about. A certain rich man, right? And what happened to this rich man? He had really good crops. Exactly, he had really good crops. So, and then what happened? He had no room to put him because he had such a bountiful harvest. So he had all his crops. His storehouses were small. So what does he do? Builds a bigger barn, right? So he builds this bigger barn, and then because he built this bigger barn, he thinks that he's going to be doing what? Think he's going to, does he think that he's going to work hard the rest of his life, or does he think what? Just chill, right? Have some iced tea, sit back, right? And then, but then what happens? That very night, That very night, what happens to him? He dies, right? So what becomes of his treasure that he just stored up? All of his crops. He what? Well, it goes to somebody else. Guaranteed somebody else is going to take care of that. So wealth, we see here, because of this parable, we see here that wealth can be a distraction. And money is a distraction to many people. Jesus warns that life is more important than material things. We can see how this rich man, or we can see who this rich man was focused on in verses 17 and 19. Because six times the word I appears, and my appears five times. So it says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So who is he focused on? Himself, right? It was very self-centered, right? He wasn't focused on, say, I don't know, who wasn't he focused on? God, right? You could say that he wasn't focused on God. He was thinking that it was all him, is all him. What made this harvest happen is his wealth, you know, and God had nothing to do with it. But so he thought he was going to live on Easy Street, right? He thought he was just going to chill. But no, that didn't happen. All of his labor was for naught, right? His earthly riches were worthless to him after death. Because you can't take a U-Haul to heaven, right? They just don't go that far. And then we're going to look at a different story in Luke, but we're going to go to chapter 10. Verses 38 through 42, way in the back.
Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with the much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left to serve, or left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her."
All right, here we see a different distraction, right? A different distraction. So did anybody want to try to explain this story? Nick? Okay. The other person said no. All right. I like that version. Here we see a different distraction, like I said. Martha wanted to serve others. Right? That's not a bad thing, is it? It's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, but still she was missing the mark. Like I said earlier, is that, you know, good works doesn't save us. You know, some people focus more on that and less on God, you know, where you need God first and good works will follow. You know, she was worried in trouble. Her anxiety, with her anxiety, she started to blame her sister, right? She started blaming her sister. It's like, well, I wouldn't have to worry so much if Mary would just get up and help, right? Anybody ever feel like that? No, siblings? Siblings, yeah, you definitely would have to feel like that. Mary, what was Mary doing?
Listening to Jesus.
She was focused on Jesus, right? She was focused on Jesus. Now in verse 39, it says, "And she had a sister, Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now I feel that's more than a location in the room. You know, it's more than that location in the room. Yes, where Mary may have physically been right at the feet of Jesus, physically there. However, there's an old Jewish saying, it goes, "at the feet of your rabbi." And what this is referring to is the relationship between a disciple and their teacher. You know, it's a humble position where the disciple wants to learn anything and everything from his teacher. So he's there 24/7. You know, wherever that teacher goes, it doesn't matter. They want to be there when that teacher talks to a girl, just to see how that goes. He wants to see when he talks to a businessman, just to see how that goes. He wants to be there when he's sleeping. I know it's awkward. It's like this disciple is just standing over, but they just want to be there just in case he wakes up and says something profound. Exactly. You know, it's just something like that. There's also a blessing, a Jewish blessing, and it's, "May you be covered by the dust from your rabbi's feet." Now, no, it's not meaning that the rabbi just takes off like a bolt of lightning and leaves you in a dust. What it's talking about is that you're so close to your rabbi, is that the dust from his feet that he's kicking up is going to get on you because you're right behind him. You're that close to him. Now, also, if you notice, it said Mary, who also is at Jesus' feet. So it means that she wasn't the only one at Jesus' feet, right? I feel like, you know, both Martha and Mary were disciples of Jesus. They're both disciples. They both listened to Jesus. They are both, you know, trying to get everything they can out of it. But Martha was the one what got distracted. She started worrying, and it distracted her. You know, worries can be a huge distraction. You know, it could keep you up late at night with worries. Here, you know, it those distractions came between Martha and Jesus. You know, the sad thing is that Martha's worries were about, you know, worrying about how to please God. I'm sure when she was trying to serve, she was trying to serve Jesus, and she was worried about that. But then it's ironic that distraction actually made her not please God. You know, the thing that she should have done, what she should have done, is she should have gave those worries to Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
He cares for us, right? So you could cast anything his way. He's going to help us with that. Now, who here's ever driven or rode in a car with a dirty windshield? I'm surprised, Michelle, because she's always on that windshield wiper. You know that there is states where it's against the law to have a dirty windshield, right? Right? New driver. So in the shade, have you noticed that in the shade, in the darkness, it doesn't look that bad. It doesn't look that bad. It's like, okay, I could deal with this. You know, the dirt is hidden for a little bit. You know, and it's harder to see those distractions. It's harder to see the dangers that is actually there. But as soon as the sun hits it, as soon as the light's right there, it lights up the dirt, showing us all the areas to clean, doesn't it? Sometimes there's a lot of areas, but it lights it all up. You know, it shows us the dangers, shows us what can be the distraction. You know, we need to stay safe and clean our windshields, our physical windshields, in our soul windshields, our spirit windshields, right? We need to get rid of those distractions and let Jesus' light shine through. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25, 26, and 27. DJ.
Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil.
So let's stay focused, right?